Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 50th week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Now his sons were with the cattle, his cattle in the field. Now this is the interesting part. And Jacob held his peace until they were come. I wonder what he was thinking. He'd just been told that Dinah has been taken. He's in Shechem's house. He's been raped. She's been raped. And he sits there quietly. I wonder what he was thinking. Well, I put a couple of... What was he thinking? Could he have been grief-stricken? In shock? Maybe he's thinking, I never should have came here. If I'd been where I'm supposed to be, in God's perfect will, none of this would ever happen. God wanted him in Bethel, but he stayed in Shechem 10 years. So the Bible says he held his peace. I just wondered, the Bible does not say what must have went through Jacob's mind. That was his daughter, his baby girl, a teenage daughter, but yet he held his peace. And I wonder if grief-stricken, shock, never should have come here. Well, we see verse number 6. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. Shechem's dad came to arrange a marriage, which was very common back then. But again, I want you to notice there is no apology from the dad. In other words, Shechem's dad didn't come up to Jacob. Jacob said, man, I'm sorry. Man, my boy did something bad. Let's just forgive and forget. Type thing. No apology whatsoever. But he was going to bargain with Jacob for Dinah to commune with him. Verse number 7. Now the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. So news spread. Winston Churchill made this statement. I hope I get this right. It just popped in my head. Bad news can travel around the world before good news can even get its pants on. I know I misdid it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. Bad news can travel around the world faster than good news could even put its pants on. You know how bad news travels fast. You don't think that's true? Look in your news today. I don't even watch the news. Amen, preacher. I used to watch Fox News. I don't watch it. Ron and them are here. I don't know where they are in politics, but they'll be gone Saturday. I quit watching the news when we watched the elections Tuesday night. I went to bed. Trump's going to win this thing. Wake up Wednesday morning, and I knew this nation was in trouble. And I quit watching. I sure don't watch CNN. I quit watching Fox News. I quit watching all of it. Because I would get mad and bitter and angry, and I just quit. And I don't even watch it no more. Don't even watch it. And I've been telling you, I started cutting back on it for months and months because all this thing of the political stuff, and it just, I got to wrap my head with duct tape or it'd explode. So I had to stay away from it. And I listened to good stuff. Amen, preacher. I listen to good gospel music. I listen to good preaching. It sets the tone in your life. Listen to that mess out there all the time. And that's nothing what's on the news. That's what sells. Blood, guts, and hunks of hair. That's what sells news. Not good news. Nobody would buy newspapers now, do they even have newspapers no more? I don't know. But if it's all good stuff, man, you want all the nastiness and all. Well, somehow the boys are out with the cows out there. And they heard what happened. Bad news travels fast. So they come in, man, they are looking for blood. Why? Because this was their little sister, and rightfully so, except they went about the wrong manner in what they were going to do. Understandably, they were very, very upset because verse number 7, when they heard it, the men were grieved. Again, The word grieved means they were heartbroken. They were hurt deeply. This is their sister, and this happened to her. So they were heartbroken. They were hurt. And then it says they were very wroth. The word wroth literally means they were furious and very angry. Man, they were fit to be tied. They'd been better off if they would have been, because they fixing to bring shame and disgrace upon Jacob and his family and the whole nation of Israel. It would follow them the rest of their life. But you see, they're coming from the field, grieved and angry, because he, speaking of Shechem, had wrought folly in Israel. Again, the word folly means shame and disgrace. They brought a reproach upon the family and upon that whole. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And just of that whole situation brought folly. That's what that word means. In Israel, in line with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done? Amen and amen. It never should have happened. So, I mean, Jacob shouldn't have been there in the first place. He should have been to Bethel. Dinah shouldn't have went out. And I'm not blaming it. Please, it's the girl's fault. No, but she went out with those Shechemite girls, and she should have never went out there with them. You get in trouble, okay? And Hamor, verse number 8, let's read 8 through 10 here. Hamor communed with them. Now, them is now Jacob and the sons. Jacob didn't say a word. That was his problem. Jacob's the daddy, and he's the man of the house. You notice Jacob ain't speaking no more. The boys are speaking. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for you. The word longs means desires. He really wants your daughter. And I pray you'll give him to wife. Allow Dinah to be Shechem's wife. And then look at verse number 9. And make ye marriages with us, and give us your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. They wanted to intermarry now. Okay, this is the way Hamor was going to diffuse the situation. Okay, hey, we got some nice girls over here. You got some nice girls over here. Let's all just come together and be one big happy family. Verse number 10, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Remember, he's the king of that area. He can do whatever he wants to. Shechem's the prince, his son. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get ye possessions therein. It's not like Jacob didn't have anything. He was very wealthy. Remember when he saw Esau, he tried to give him 500 animals, sheep and cattle. If you count, he was very wealthy. When he left Laban's house, man, he was very wealthy. So it ain't like he needed more possessions. But and yet Hamor, his mindset was not so much taking the women and all. The mindset was getting what they had, because look down at verse number 23. Look at verse number 20. This was his real mindset. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Hey, if we intermarry, guess what happened? What they have, we're going to get it. So don't think Hamor is doing something good. Well, he's offering. There are some bad intentions in the back of his mind. We get to marry and intermingling with these folk, and ultimately we're going to get everything they got. Verse number 11, Shechem begins to speak. And Shechem said unto her father, Dinah, Jacob, and to the brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I'll give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye say unto me, shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. Literally, whatever you want, I have my power to give you. Cattle, sheep, land, you name it, I'll give it to you. Just let me have your daughter to be my wife.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more great teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly is our prayer.